Always good to see a big portion of our church go to the back. Some weeks it feels like it never stops with them walking back, which is a blessing to see. Which is also a blessing on Wednesday nights to see how many youth walk in here. I remember the first week we swapped the adults going back then, the youth coming up here. I didn't think the youth were ever going to stop coming through that door. The young people just kept coming and coming and coming. And it's truly a blessing to see. And to know that this church has that big of an impact. It's a blessing to see y'all this morning. It's a blessing to be a part of a church that has an impact. And so, Christmas season is upon us, and I finally get to wear my Christmas ties that I've been trying to wear for the last month. But Lindsay kept saying, no, not yet, not yet. You got to wait till it's December. But I love Christmas. I love everything about, I love the nativity story. I love the fact being in ministry this time of year, I get to go back to it. And as you get in ministry for several years, it gets a little challenging. But it pushes me to dive deeper and deeper. Yeah. What did I miss last year? Yeah. What did I miss the year before?
That's right.
If you remember last year, we looked at the women of Jesus' genealogy. Mm-hmm. And this year, we're going to do a little series called Seeking Christ. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at two different groups. And then the third week, we're going to look at an individual. But all is going to revolve around the theme of seeking Christ. Mm-hmm. And today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. But as you flip in there, like I said, I love Christmas. I love the scriptures. And then, I ain't gonna lie, I love watching me a good Hallmark Christmas movie. I love Hallmark Christmas movies. Lindsay picks at me all the time about that, but it's just like, you know how it's going to end. I was like, I don't care. I still enjoy them. But let's start off a little Christmas trivia this morning on the nativity. So who visited baby Jesus first in the nativity story? Was it the shepherds, the wise men?
Shepherds.
So y'all got that one. What was the sign to the shepherds who Jesus was? There we go. We're knocking them out of the park so far. How many wise men were there? So often we'll say three because it was three gifts, but in reality, like they just said, we don't know how many it was. Here's one. How old was Jesus when the wise men arrived? Say, nope, probably no older than two. Because King Herod had all the babies under two killed. And that's a detail we miss a lot of times. Just a couple of weeks ago when we visited my mama, she had her decorations up. Had a nativity, and she looked at me and says, don't even say it. I already know it's not biblically accurate. She had the wise men right there at the manger scene. I said, you need to sit them like over in the kitchen to represent their searching still. But what gathered the wise men to Jesus? The star. Here's one. Was Jesus born on December 25th? No. That's just the day we celebrate it. That's many arguments on why we use the 25th. We won't get into all those, but you can find all kind of arguments. Yeah. More likely late spring, early fall, because the shepherds were out in the field. So y'all done really good with the trivia this morning. And I love doing little Bible trivia. Like we said, so often we revisit these stories every year. Yeah. Many of you probably come the 25th of this year, or sit down and read through it with your family, won't you? And so after hearing so many years after years after years, we kind of just start to glance over it. Yeah. We think, hey, I've learned all there is to learn from this story. But I challenge you this year, as you read through it, slow down.
Yes.
And go in with a mindset, what can I learn new this year? What have I not noticed yet about this passage? What has the Lord not taught me yet? Because
yeah.
In a sense, when we go into it, just glancing over, don't we go in it with a heart of pride almost? In a weird way. Because we're not really going with a prideful attitude, but in a way it is kind of a prideful approach. It's like, well, I've learned all I can from this. And it keeps us from growing deeper.
Wow, that's good.
Like I said, today we're going to look at the shepherds. And look at, I know you're going to get nervous when I say seven lessons, but seven lessons that we learned from the shepherds on seeking Jesus. And they're going to go fairly quick, I think. But hey. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, with which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Yeah. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have this time of year just to pause and go back to the nativity story. Lord, to refocus our minds on it. That we come to this time of year where as believers, we have a reminder to slow down, go back to the basics, and see what we've missed, and to grow closer to you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity in our culture still to proclaim your glory, Lord. That we got opportunity among of all the commercialization of Christmas, Lord, to proclaim your glory, your goodness, Lord. That throughout December, there is opportunity after opportunity, doorway after doorway, to talk about you, to make you known. Where the name Christ rolls off the lips of the believer and the non-believer, probably hundreds of times a day. Lord, help us keep you the focus of this Christmas season, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, this morning just learn from your word, Lord. Help us learn from these shepherds that were at your manger 2,000 years ago, Lord. On what we can learn from them about seeking after you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that example. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for recording them coming to see you when you were just an infant. Lord, bless this time together, Lord. Bless the reading of your word, Lord. Bless the preaching of your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think one thing that's really important to start off with talking about the shepherds is their reputation. The shepherds during Jesus' time in this period of history were not looked at favorably by society. Most of society considered them ritually unclean, so they couldn't participate in a lot of temple activities because of them dealing with the sheep and all the different things they had to do that came along with that. So a lot of times they weren't even allowed at certain festivities, allowed at certain things at the temple. And take in mind, this is the first people Jesus revealed himself to, which is awesome. But they were considered unclean. Many considered them thieves. They were just the rough group. Oh, you don't hang out with them. That is trouble. You hang out with the shepherds. You hang out with that crowd, that's the wrong group. They're just a bunch of thieves. They're going to rob you blind. They were considered unreliable witnesses. So if something happens, that's not who you want as a witness. If you was accused of doing something wrong, you didn't want your shepherd neighbor being the one there to be a witness, because the people of Jesus' time did not consider that witness reliable. And again, that's the amazing thing about the story, that God first chose to reveal himself to those that society considered unreliable. If you was making this story up, that's not the group you would have got. You would have got somebody that people would have believed. And you see that all the time throughout the Gospels with different groups. So society did not have a favorable view of them. But then you pause and think about the Old Testament. What did Abraham's life revolve around? Shepherding. It revolved around caring for animals. Moses, What did he do for 40 years? Was a shepherd. What was David before he was king? A shepherd. Yeah. So the three most influential men in the Jewish religious writings were all shepherds. But they got to a point they were too good to be with shepherds. When you think about it, it's like, y'all are missing something here. But then you start to think about it. How often is that us? That we become too good for the things Jesus had done. If you was asked to wash somebody's feet as Jesus did, do some of the lowliest of serving, would you consider yourself too good for it? Oh, I can't do that. Jesus did. The most influential man in the book. The one the book is. Jesus is the Word. But how often in our world today we have considered ourselves too good to do the very things Jesus himself did. From washing feet to loving our enemies. To treating people with kindness beyond all ends. Laying it all on the line for the glory of God. So before we get too cruel on the people of Jesus' time for looking at the shepherd's bed, don't we do that sometimes? Aren't we just as guilty of doing that in our lives? So when have we became too good for the things Jesus did? Just like the people of Jesus' time became too good for the things that Jewish ancestors had did. And so, remember, search for Christ in humility. Don't ever fall for the lie that you're too good to do such and such. Or too bad for such and such. And also, when you just think about how the shepherds were the outcast, they weren't the religious elite, probably didn't hardly get to be a part of any of the religious activities, that Jesus, not only can the preacher find Christ in his work, but so can the shepherd, the farmer, the mill worker, the office worker, the medical field worker, the school teacher. God doesn't just reveal himself in deep ways to those that work in the religious lines of work. Every single one of you in here, God's revealed himself to. He's teaching you things. I mean, the first group Jesus revealed himself to was not the religious elite of his time, but the shepherds, the outcast of society. Just because you don't have the right degree, so to say, don't have the right commentary, so to say, a certificate of ordination does not mean you are spiritually illiterate or incapable.
Right. Yeah.
Are all those things good? Yeah. But are they necessary? No. They could be useful tools in the right context. But if the Spirit of God's not in it, what good is it?
Yeah.
And in this room of believers, you're a believer, the Spirit of God is in you. Which means you are not spiritually illiterate or incapable of gleaning from the Word of God. You are not incapable of testifying of the Word of God. God has given you a platform through what he has called you to do. And what you do shapes the way you share. I mean, I'll pick on Lane for a minute. I've told him before, so one day when I miss, I'm going to let you fill in for me. After I heard him share with the youth, he is gifted.
Yes.
And part of that shapes that gifting is him working in the mill, him being an engineer. How it teaches his mind to look at the world a different way. And so when he gets into text, that comes with him. And I very much enjoyed listening to him. Because that's things, because of how his mind works, he's going to see that I don't see. But because of what God's called him to work, it has shaped the way he views things. To the teachers, y'all going to be way better at bringing it down to a level the youngest can understand. I have to pause and think on that sometimes. I've made it a habit to start listening to kids' podcasts on the Bible to help me get better at bringing it to a level the youngest can understand. Because I'll get caught up in the church lingo sometimes. Medical workers. Y'all see the human body in a magnificent way. Y'all see the handiwork of God in creation in a way the rest of us don't see.
Thank you, Lord.
And what an avenue that is to share. Y'all get to see people at y'all's lowest. I mean, I know sitting with Miss Mary, she'll tell you about times she prays with people at the lowest.
Yeah.
She doesn't just use her medical gifts just for medical reasons, but to be a useful tool of the Lord. And how many ways have you, being a school nurse, opened doorways to the many youth that come here? Another example of somebody using just ordinary gifts of ordinary callings and making it a spiritual calling. We can go around the room and do this all day. But God's got a purpose for us all, just as he did these shepherds. These shepherds played a mighty role in proclaiming the goodness of God. Don't let your pride get in the way of God using you. Don't think you get it all figured out. Don't think you know it all. And then also on the flip side, don't have false humility. Because so often, while some of us may think ourselves too high of ourselves to hear from God, some think we are too lowly of ourselves to believe God will speak to us. Wow. In a different way, that's pride all in itself. Yep. That you're too far gone for God to speak to. That you're too spiritually drifted for God to be able to speak to. He can speak to you. He is speaking to you. But are you listening? See, the shepherds, they heard while they were doing that work. They were out making an honest living. And all of a sudden, God spoke to them in an unexpected way. Think about the story of Moses. Moses leading the Israelites out. It started with an unexpected meeting with God out in the work field. I can tell how many times throughout the weeks, as I'm thinking of my summers at work, God will just hit me with something. Yeah. Many times it happens when I sit down at the computer to start typing, but more times than not, it's why I'm going through my week thinking about the text and scripture God wants me to preach on, and I'll be sitting there mowing grass, and I'll go, didn't think about that before. And all of a sudden, God just starts wrestling with me over the next hour on that text. But the question is, do we listen throughout the day? You see, the shepherds heard, and they chose to listen. Yes. And keep this in mind. The shepherds didn't find Christ because they were wise or capable. You didn't find Christ because you were wise or capable. They found him because God revealed himself. All true seeking begins with divine invitation. The invitation's right here. If God had never came and put himself in that manger and revealed himself to man, would we have ever known that he chose to reveal himself to us? And the invitation to salvation is right here.
That is right.
In a sense, the babe in swaddling the cloth is right here, wrapped in leather.
Hallelujah.
Will you come and seek? Will you come and bow down? Will you come and seek the wisdom? But just very briefly this morning, I want to look at seven ways the shepherds really responded. First of all, initially, fearfully.
Yeah.
As you read through the Bible, when God reveals himself to people, when the angel of the Lord appears to people, what is usually the first words we hear?
Fear not.
Because every time they are... The angels of the Lord reveal themselves. Every time God reveals himself, people get overwhelmed with fear.
Yeah.
If an angel of the Lord appeared right here,
yeah,
we would probably hear the words, fear not.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. If the angel of the Lord appears right now, I'm hitting my knees. Because I'm going to be a little scared. I'm like, all right, Lord, is this a good visit or is this a bad visit? Because this don't normally happen. But they recognize the fullness of God's glory. And when you come to the light of God's glory, you realize the lowliness of yourself in that light, that you don't measure up, that you won't be good enough. But what a beautiful thing is that divine words is what gives us the presence to stand in the presence of the divine. The divine works of God is what gives us the strength to stand in his presence.
Yeah.
Like we've said so many times, when fear hits us, what matters is what do we do? Do we run away or do we run towards? Because in life, fear is going to hit. But what do you do? Do you let it drive a wedge between you and God? Or do you pause? You use that fear as a red flag. And you pause and listen. And see why that fear is there. Do you take that step of faith to let God use you in a mighty way. Don't be as the wicked, as in Psalm 10:4. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. And his thoughts are, there is no God. When your fear of immorality strikes, do you tell yourself the lie that there is no God? Do you let the fear try to make you erase the concept of morality and of God? We see that a lot in society, where people try to erase the proof, the existence of God. Because if there's no divine being to answer to, guess what? That's nothing to answer for when you die.
Yeah.
Or do you do as Proverbs 9:10? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. When you get fearful, do you run to the wisdom of God?
Yeah.
When you get fearful, the place to run to is right here.
Amen.
This will calm your fears.
Yes, it will.
So much of fear being the beginning of wisdom is that it drives us to the Word.
Yeah.
It makes us stop and go, hey, I need a dose of God right now. Because I have backslidden, I have forgotten some of his truths. I've got to run to his word so that I may grow in it, that I may have a firmer foundation, that I may slay the demons I am facing right now.
Yeah.
What does his word say about what I am fearful of?
Yeah,
we can run many directions, but none of those directions are going to satisfy. The only direction that's going to satisfy is right here.
Yeah.
And that is the word of God. Two, as we think about the story of the shepherds, I think of verse 12 here. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. God is not always found in the most flashy and grand ways. As you see here, when they came to Christ, it wasn't at a palace. It was in a manger. It could have been a manger, being a stable. It could have been somebody's side room where they brought the baby animals in that night to keep him warm. And they laid Jesus in the manger, in a feed trough. That's where they found Christ. Not nothing flashy, not nothing grand. Think about the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Was God's voice? Was God in the wind, the earthquake, the fire? The still small voice. It's not always in the grand ways. Sure, can God reveal himself in grand ways? Yeah. Does he at times? Yeah. But more times than not, in the simple. During your work day, when you're out tending the fields, when you're tending the minds, when you're tending the body, he reveals himself. In the quiet of your bedroom, of your office, he reveals himself. Because just like 2,000 years ago, they found him in swaddling cloth. We found him today swaddled in cloth. Do we not? I think so often we get caught up in seeking emotional highs. We get caught chasing an experience so many times. I mean, to me, all my years in youth ministry, the one thing I always try to be careful on was events. Because I've seen so many events where kids, and I see this in adult events, but spending almost 6-7 years in youth ministry, that's what I'm more familiar with. Where kids, young people get caught up in the emotional experience. And then guess what started happening when we start planning events together as an association? We would work towards that emotional experience they felt, trying to get the same result. And so when our big things came, how do we avoid that? And yes, bring in the band for the event, bring in the guest speakers. But how do we make sure it's not confused for an emotional experience that they depend on for the next 50 years of their life? That's why with evangelism, follow-up is so vital. In those events, we would always stress follow-up. Don't confuse God for an emotional high. Are they emotional highs we experience sometimes with God? Yes. But if that's what life depends on, what your spiritual health depends on, you better ask yourself, do you really got a relationship with the Lord? I mean, it's going to be a good life. It's going to be a joy-filled life. But it's not meant to be chasing emotional highs all the time. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of Paul. They were hard lives. It wasn't a life constantly riding on the emotional high. God calls us to hard things. Yes, God can speak to you in the grand and flashy things of life, the emotional things of life. I mean, he gave us emotions for a reason. We're made in his image, that's a purpose for him. But also remember, Jeremiah says the heart can be deceitful above all things. Listen to God in the quiet. You can hear him in the quiet. So while I struggle to have a quiet time, push through. When you was in high school playing sports, lifting weights, was it easy at first? No, it stunk. It hurt. It was not pleasant. It took dedication to go back to the weight room the next day when everything in you was aching. We're willing to do that for things we love, don't we? Things we enjoy. I mean, this deer season is upon us. You may be sore from work, but you push through to go to that deer patch. It's all about what matters to you. Yes, when you first get in the Word, starting to glean from it, is it always going to be easy? No. It's going to be tough sometimes. It's going to hurt. Because yeah. God is going to convict.
That's right.
Third thing we see is seek Christ in community. Did it say a shepherd went to see Jesus? No. The shepherds went. Seek Christ in community. The shepherds heard together, went together, testified together. Your life was not meant to be done in isolation.
That's right.
I ain't going to harp on it too much because we mention it all the time.
Yeah.
But who's your shepherd companion? Who is your shepherd companion? Who can you go to when you need help doing the work of God? How are you seeking to be a better community? How are you seeking to be a better member of this community, of this church community? Or do you just settle with being a face in the crowd? Or do you ask, how can I be a better neighbor?
Yeah.
In a physical and in a spiritual sense. Fourthly, you seek with urgency and serve with urgency. When they heard, they did not hesitate or act to wait when conditions were ideal. They went immediately. And in my mind, I'm like, who was watching the sheep? Did they leave one guy behind? Or did they just all lock them up and go, Lord, you called us to go. Keep them all here. Let them be here when we get back. Keep the wolves away. You are the great shepherd. We don't really know if one guy was left behind or they just like, Lord, protect them. You called. We're going to trust you. But the point of it is they didn't wait till conditions were ideal. How many times in life have you said, Lord, I'll start doing this when life slows down? Or when this or this gets right, when this gets straight, I'll go talk to so-and-so when things die down. How does that go in life? Does that moment ever come? No. Once one thing is resolved, guess what? Here comes another curveball. And he's like, well, Lord, a few more months. We got to let this settle down now. Stop it with the excuses. If God's calling you, he's calling you to act now. And how are you responding with obedience? Because delayed obedience is disobedience. If he is calling you to do it. You say, well, I need to pray about it. You've been praying about it for the last 2 years. Well, Lord, let me pray about it a little bit longer. And he's steady saying, I want you to pray about it. I've done told you to go for the last year and a half. Go. Well, Lord, I'm waiting for this to work out. And the Lord's going, no, well, I'm not. I already got it worked out. Go. And I can think of times in my life throughout ministry, if I waited till conditions got ideal, I would have never went. But every time when I went, guess what? God worked it out. To a T. Like I told you, when I went to Shreveport, church I went to wasn't paying enough. I was, for me to survive on, I was going to be 6-7 hours away from any family. Did not have much of savings. Did not have the first job lined up. Didn't know the first person in Shreveport. But I knew God was calling. Got over there, started serving. Was having trouble finding a job because later on I would figure out during that time Shreveport had the worst economy to get a job in the nation. Glad I didn't know that before I went. the last day that I needed to get a job, to get a paycheck, and in time to pay my bills was the day I got a job.
Amen.
Was I getting nervous? Yeah. But I saw God provide and bless obedience. God may not be wanting you to get the next step ready. He may already have it ready. He's just waiting for you to step into it. God may be calling you to do something right now, but you're like, Lord, I've got to figure this and this out. And he says, no, you don't. Just go, you hard head. Go. And you'll see, I got it. It may be the last minute he reveals it to you, but he's got it. If he has called, he has got it. So go. Fifthly, seek and serve with all abandonment. So I just thought about them leaving the sheep. They didn't worry about what was going to happen. They knew God had it. They knew God was going to take care of it. What are the things you hesitate to let go of? Is that something you hesitate to let go of? If so, it's an idol. And you need to kill that idol, no matter what it takes. Sixth thing, as you seek and as you find the Lord, testify. That's what I love about Fifth Sundays. We spent a whole summer last Sunday talking about testifying. Testify as you seek God. Testify as God reveals to you. Share with others the things God is teaching you. Because again, you were not meant to do this life in isolation. And what God has revealed, what God has taught you, it might not have necessarily been for you. It may be meant for the person sitting in front of you this morning or behind you, beside you. And God's waiting for you to go to them and tell them what God has taught you this week. Are you going to be obedient to share, to talk, to discuss the things of God with others? So what he's teaching is not necessarily just for your benefit. Does it benefit you? Yes. And little do you know, that person God's laid on your heart to share what God revealed to you this week, God may reveal something to you, them this week that you need to hear. That's going to help you through this week.
Yeah.
But God's waiting on your obedience to inspire their obedience. And because you are both obedient, guess what? You're a little bit better prepared for this week. You've encouraged one another. You have sharpened one another. I'm not the only one meant to share what God's revealed to me this week. And what an ideal opportunity you got every Sunday as we go back here to eat. Go sit down with that person as you eat in your fried chicken. Share what God has taught you, what God has laid on your heart. Testify of the goodness of God. And seventhly, it tells us as the shepherds left, they praised God for what he had revealed to them. That they had praised God for revealing himself to them. If you have experienced the goodness of God, make it known. Make it known. You ain't got to wait to Fifth Sunday to make it known. You ain't got to wait to Sunday to make it known. Make it known. If you have experienced the goodness of God, don't frown so much. So often, I can't remember the old joke, but that sometimes we forget to let our face know about the joy in our heart.
Yeah.
Of course, happiness doesn't equal joy. But when you get joy in your heart, you're going to smile. You can't help but to smile. You can't help but to experience the goodness of God. If you have experienced the goodness of God, don't be afraid to let a hallelujah out.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to let an amen out. Because this corner up here is not afraid to. the first Sunday I preached here, I told Lindsay, I said, they just didn't know what they were doing when they kept amening. Because there's so many churches nowadays, you don't hear the first amen. Most churches, I remember filling in and out over that year, you heard a pin drop. But make it known when you experience the goodness of God. If you have experienced the goodness of God, do not be afraid to proclaim his word. What do you need to praise God for this week? Do it. So this week, let's walk with these seven shepherd lessons that change how we seek, serve, and share Christ. Seek Christ in humility this week. Remember, your pride can blind you. humble yourself or God will.
Yes.
Remember, God speaks to everyday people. You ain't got to wait to see what God spoke to the preacher or the Sunday school teacher about. Go home, open your Bible tonight. He's got a word for you. Get up in the morning, he's got a word for you. Get up Tuesday morning, he's got a word for you.
Yes.
Get in the word every day. When fear strikes, let it drive you to the word, not away from the word. Remember, don't miss God looking for the flashy. Christ was found in a manger, not a palace.
Yeah.
We've got the word of God right here in front of us. Seek God in the word. Get in the word. Seek Christ together. You need community. Stop trying to do the spiritual life alone. Do not fall for the prideful mindset that you got this on your own. Do it in community. Seek and serve with urgency and all abandonment. And when you've encountered Christ, testify and praise. Let it be known. Let it be known not just today. Let it be known Monday through Saturday. Let your coworker see a testifying follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Don't leave doubt in your coworker's mind that you're a follower of God. Don't leave doubt in a family member's mind that you are a follower of God. If you have sought and have found Christ, you've got a responsibility to testify. So follow these lessons we learned from the shepherds this week. And so just give you a hint for next week, if you paid attention to any. Next week, the group we're going to look at didn't find Christ so quickly. They didn't find him the same night. And so if you paid attention at the beginning, you already know who we're talking about next week. But if you don't, go reread the story. You'll figure it out. You might have to go read in Matthew, though. What? No. I thought you were saying it wasn't in Matthew. I was like, oh. I was like, but remember these things. Take these things.
Yeah,
and if you need to seek Christ with more abandonment with one of these seven things we talk about, you're struggling in one of them, if not multiple. I'm struggling in some of them. Because I can sit here for the next 30 minutes and talk about probably at least two of them that I know I can do better in. What do you need to do better? This morning, as we have this time of invitation, what do you need to talk to God about? Or is God calling you during this time of invitation to step across the aisle, step behind you, and grab somebody by the hand and says, let me share something with you. God's taught me this week, and he's burdened my heart to share this with you. And this is what it is. Let's go pray together. Be obedient this morning. Be obedient this week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, once again for the lessons the shepherds have taught us. Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, that you have given us this account of your birth in your word. That you have preserved your word over these thousands of years, Lord. That you have given us your word to guide and direct our lives, Lord. So that we may find salvation in you. We thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, not only did you give us the way to salvation, you gave us a guidebook on how to live a holy and righteous life. You didn't just save us and say, good luck on figuring it out. He said, here is the way. This is how you do it. And on top of that, not only did you give us your word, your spirit indwells us. You give us the very strength we need to walk in obedience with you. We thank you for that gift. Let us not take it for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.